My lesson this evening is on the fulfillment of God's eternal plan. My text is going to be taken from Ephesians chapter 3. I want to back up to verse 1 so that we can get the context of what Paul has written to the elders here at Ephesus. When he says here in verse 1, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to His holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ through the gospel." Isn't that wonderful news for all of us who are Gentiles? That we can all be partakers of the promise that is in Christ Jesus. In verse 7, he says, "Of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of His power. To me," Paul said, "who am less than the least of all saints." Paul referred to himself, as a matter of fact, in another passage of Scripture, as being the chief of sinners. This grace, he says, was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches in Christ. Let me tell you something. I don't think you can tell of all the riches that are in Christ Jesus. I don't think you can sit down and write on a sheet of paper all the riches in Christ Jesus. Unsearchable riches in Christ. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. Our focus in our lesson is going to be on verses 10 and 11. "To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God," that manifold means variegated wisdom of God, "might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places." Sometimes when we come together as a group to worship God as a church, we don't realize that indeed the angels have received this knowledge as well now. But they had no idea of God's plan in the very beginning. Only God knew. And we're going to take a look at some of those passages here in our lesson tonight. "According to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord." I would like for us to go back to some passages of Scripture here as we consider our lesson tonight, the fulfillment of God's eternal plan. Well, most of us are very much aware of it. We go back to Genesis chapter 3 and look here in this particular passage of Scripture. What we see has happened here is man has been tempted, he has fallen, and God has given him his punishment as it is to be seen. But also He has made a statement to the serpent as well. "To the serpent," in verse 14, "because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. When I look at the fulfillment of this promise that has been made to the serpent, I go to the Hebrew writer here in chapter 2 of the book of Hebrews. If you want to turn there with me just for a moment, Hebrews chapter 2, and I want you to take a look here at what the writer here has us to see. In verse 14, he says, "Inasmuch then as the children have been partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power over death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." So what the writer here is trying to get us to understand is that fulfillment has occurred when Jesus rose from the Hadean world in paradise and rose up into heaven. When he rose from this Hadean world, he gave Satan a crushing blow to the head and it bruised his heel. No one, absolutely no one is in heaven except for God, Jesus, and the angels. Everyone else is still there in the Hadean world, awaiting the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Some we find are in paradise, some are in Tartarus. Between the two is the great gulf that is fixed between. So no one has left the Hadean world except Jesus himself. He's the only one that has left the Hadean world. Well, we look at yet another promise that was made, this one to Abraham, as we turn our Bibles over to Genesis chapter 12. And in this particular passage of Scripture, what we are really interested in looking at here is verse 3. When he tells Abram to go out into a far country, a country that he is not familiar with, and he tells Abram that he's going to make him a great nation, and tells him that he's going to be a blessing. He says, "I will bless those who bless you, I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." When Paul wrote his letter to the brethren there at Galatia, we find that in Galatians chapter 3, a passage that we use oftentimes when we're teaching on baptism, and we back up to verse 26, and we find that Paul writes in this letter here, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise." What a wonderful relationship that those who are in Christ have. What a great thing that each and every one of us can enjoy as children of God. He made a promise to Moses. As you turn your Bibles over to the 18th chapter of Deuteronomy, and we take a look here at verse 15, where we find that he wrote, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from the midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear." The promise made here to Moses, a prophet like Moses. What an interesting point that he makes there. Well, let's think about who Moses was. What did Moses do? You see, he led the children of Israel out of Egypt. He was in charge of the children of Israel, so to speak. And we find that to be the case with our Lord as well. When we turn our Bibles over to Acts chapter 3, and I encourage you to turn here and take a look at what Peter preached in his second sermon here, a very important point that he makes in regard to this very passage. Beginning here at verse 22 in Acts chapter 3, we find that he says, "For Moses truly said to the fathers, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall come to pass that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying, Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away everyone from their iniquities.'" A prophet like Moses. Only with this prophet, there was no way that anyone that would not hear him would not receive a just punishment as a result of it. Jesus Christ. What a wonderful promise. Another promise that's made to David. If you want to turn your Bibles over to 2 Samuel just for a moment, to chapter 7, beginning here in verse 12. "When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up for you seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the blows of the Son of Man. But my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you, and your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever." So in God's eternal plan, in this whole scheme of things, he sent forth his son. He sent forth his son to fulfill all of the promises that we've looked at in our lesson tonight. When I turn my Bible over to Galatians chapter 4, and I take a look at what Paul had to say to the brethren here in verses 4 and 5, he says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." Every single person, every single individual in the entire world can have the opportunity of having Jesus as their Savior, their sins washed away, to become a child of God. Gentiles adopted as sons. I turn over to Romans chapter 8 also. This passage here is a wonderful passage that brings out this point as well. An important part of our passage, our study tonight. In chapter 8, beginning here in verse 3. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 3. when he said, "For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit of the things of the Spirit." God sent His only Son to die on the cross, to shed His blood so that you and I could become His children. What a wonderful, wonderful love our Father has for us. That while we were still in sin, His Son was willing to go to that cruel cross of Calvary and suffer such terrible punishment because of our sins, not because He was in sin. He had no sin. It was our sin that He was willing. This was all in God's eternal plan. This is exactly what God had planned for all mankind. Another passage that I would like to consider that's helpful in understanding what God's eternal plan is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It was His plan that every one of us could be a part of the body of Christ. It's interesting to look at this passage. I've had so many people in my Bible class to make mention of the fact that they didn't realize that the church and the body was all a part of the same, just a different description. You see what he says here in verse 12? "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of the one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greek, whether free or slave, and have all been made to drink of the one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one, but many members." Christ shed His blood so that He could have a kingdom that God had planned from the very beginning. In Christ Jesus, we are a part of that body. Christ is the head of that body. So that means that He is the one that we have to get authority for the things that we do. He is the legislator. He is the lawgiver. And we have to obey Him. So what an important statement that he makes in this passage of Scripture, the body of Christ. When Colossians chapter 1 there, when Paul says in verse 18 that Christ is the head of the body. You know, I use this as an example a lot of times in my Bible classes. Our head controls everything our physical body does. Everything that our physical body does. As a matter of fact, if the head isn't working right, the body isn't working right either. So the head controls the body. We need to understand that Christ is in control of the body. What a simple statement that is. Well, an interesting point that was made in the lesson that we had earlier on today. With all this information that we have about Jesus, why is it we have such a difficult time in telling others about God's eternal plan? It's an eternal plan. It's not going to go away. It's going to last forever. It's something that we're going to either eternally live or suffer eternal death. That's the choice that we have. Yet with this wonderful news that we have, Paul was so willing to go out and spread this news to others. And of course, he was an apostle to the Gentiles. But there's others. How about Stephen? Stephen was one who proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ. What was the price that he paid for his obedience and for his telling others about Jesus? death. I mean, I don't think that any of us have that to be concerned about, although there have been times when I would go door to door and talk to somebody, that a friend of mine, as we went door to door, we were talking. It was his turn to do the talking. We took turns, and he was talking to a guy, and he had this great big huge monkey wrench, and he was swinging that monkey wrench back and forth. And as my buddy went to tell him something else, he threw that thing up and he just stopped. He didn't say another word. You know, he was scared to death that that guy was going to take that monkey wrench and hit him with it when he was talking about Jesus. You see? Interesting. God's plan, God's eternal plan, His desire is that everybody in the world be saved. You have that great information. I have that information to pass on to other people. What are we doing with it? That's an interesting question. What are we doing? How well are we doing our job as Christians to try to encourage others to be a part of this wonderful kingdom? To be a part of the body of Christ? To be a part of the New Testament church? To know that He offers to every one of us total forgiveness of sins. Now we know that, and how many people are we telling? Have you told your neighbor? Have you told some of your family members? I know I'm guilty myself. I know the feeling that sometimes we don't realize that we just went by somebody and we didn't tell them. I'm going to tell you a story about a gentleman that one time I was riding with him, and he's driving this huge Chevrolet, and he puts a dollar's worth of gas in it, and I'm saying, "Why did you do that? Why didn't you fill it up?" He said, "Because I had the opportunity to ask the guy if he'd obeyed the gospel or not." He sought opportunities to try to spread the word, you see. The fulfillment of God's eternal plan is that every one of us can have all spiritual blessings in Jesus Christ. I want to close with Ephesians chapter 1. If you want to turn your Bibles there just for a moment. There are several points in this passage that I would like to first look at. When he talks about redemption in Christ Jesus in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. When we move down to verse 7, he says, "In Him," in Christ, "we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." Wow. And then we move down to verses 22 and 23. "And He put all things under His feet, gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all." God's plan. This was God's plan from the beginning, that His Son would die on the cruel cross of Calvary. The prophet Isaiah brings this point out so well for us. Even gets down to the details for us. It was in God's plan that He would be in paradise for only 3 days. And then He would break the bonds of death by rising up from that Hadean world. It was all in the plan of God. Now, this is a simple lesson and passages that we understand and we've read probably many times. How important it is that we get this information out to everyone that we can. Let's not bottle this information up. Let's go out and let's encourage others to be a part of the New Testament church, to obey the gospel of Christ. This morning we had one of the people that I teach in my Bible class that obeyed the gospel this morning. You know how great it is to go to the birth of a baby? It's wonderful. I mean, it's exciting. There's just nothing can take the place of it, it seems like, does it? The birth of a person that decides to be a child of God is greater excitement than any birth of a physical baby. That someone has decided that I want to be a Christian. What a wonderful thing. And all it takes is for one other person to talk to them about Jesus. What an opportunity. The opportunity's out there for all of us. For all of us to do it. If you're here tonight, you've never been obedient to the gospel of Christ, you know you have that opportunity tonight. I'm sure the baptistry is ready. So the only thing that's keeping you from your obedience to the gospel of Christ is yourself. If you're here tonight and you've fallen away from the gospel of Christ and you've brought shame and reproach upon the Lord's church, you know that's a terrible thing to have done. To leave this world in that unsaved state would be a terrible thing. It would be awful. Here you have an opportunity to make those changes. If we can help aid you, won't you come as together we stand and sing the song of invitation.